Okay, today's daf is daf chaf vav. We're in the first daf of the fourth and final parak, and today's learning is sponsored Lila Nishmas Yosef ben Yeshua by Adina and Stephen Palin. The neshama should have an aliyah. So let's take in the bottom of chaf hey and beis again. The new mission, the new parak, is as follows: Bnei ha'ir shemachu rechova shel ir. If the city sells the rechova, the street of the city, we'll see the significance of that. There's some kedusha perhaps to the street of the city. Lochin bedam of beis knesses. They can use that money to elevate in kedusha to me'alim kedusha to a shul itself. Use the money that they sell from the rechova to buy a shul. And if they sell a beis knesses, they could use the money lochin teva. They could buy a teva, which is arun, like it houses the sefer Torah. If they sell a teva lochin matpachos, they could sell the little handkerchiefs or whatever, some type of coverings they put on the sefer Torah itself. And mitpachos, if they sell these coverings, they could use the proceeds yichu svarim. They could buy sifrei nevim and ksuvim. And if they sell svarim lochin Torah, they could buy sifrei Torah themselves. However, the opposite is not true. Moridim kedusha would not be allowed. Aval imachu Torah, if they sell Torah, lo yichu svarim. They cannot buy nevim ksuvim because that's going to be a downgrade. If they sell svarim, lo yichu mitpachos. They can't buy the coverings of the sefer Torah. Mitpachos lo yichu teva, teva lo yichu beis knesses, beis knesses lo yichu es rechova, v'chein b'masurahein. And so too, if any leftovers, let's say they sell sefer Torah and let's say it will make sense, but let's say they sell nevim and they buy a sefer Torah and there's some leftover money of the nevim, they still can't downgrade the masurahein. The masurahein has the same din as the actual money itself. So now the Gemara explains to Bnei Ha'ir, Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir. So if the city sells the street, so the din of the Mishnah says you could use the proceeds to buy anything higher Kedusha, like Beis Knesses. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchan, Amar Yochanan, the truth is that's only Divrei Menachem Bar Yossi Stum Sa. That's only his opinion. He's the author of the Mishnah here, Rabbi Menachem. However, Abal Chachamim Omrim, HaRechova Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. The Chachamim felt that there is no Kedusha at all in the city, in the street, which means if you sell the street, you could buy whatever you want with it. There's no level of Kedusha, of elevating Kedusha. It's just Stam. What does that mean? So, V'acham Omrim, Rechov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi, my time, why do they think that there is Kedusha in the Rechov? Hol V'ha'am Mispalin Bo Betainios Mamados, that we saw in Meseches Tainis, that when the drought got so bad, they were daven in the city, in the streets, so there's a certain level of Kedusha in the Rechov, according to Rabbi Menachem. Rabban respond back and say, Ahu Akrai Ba'ama, that's simply just a happenstance, that's a once in a blue moon where they daven, that doesn't give it Kedusha at all, and therefore it doesn't apply, these halachas don't apply. So Barnau says, Beis HaKnesses, Lochen Teva, you're allowed to buy the shul, from that you could use to buy the Teva. So Amar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rebbe Yochanan, Loshanu El Beis HaKnesses Shel Kram, this is only true where a person is allowed to sell a shul of a village. It was understood that now, like many shtiblach are owned by the rabbi themselves, so a small little shtibl up in the village was owned by the rabbi. It was a personal real estate, and he could sell it if he pleases. Of a basic knesset shel krachim, it's a city shul that many people attended and membership, and there's a partnership. So it came in de ma'alma asulei lo matzi mizvanile. So dehavilei lerabim, you're not allowed to sell because since people come from all over the place, the rabbim, it's not yours to sell, it's theirs to sell. It's not under your bialis. That's Rashi writes. Rashi writes halfway down the Rashi's here. Aval shel krochim havilei bate knesses derabim. It's the shul of the people. Vakol bialehin, and everyone's considered the owner. Therefore, ve'ein bnei ha'ir levadim bialim lehim. Even if the city himself decides to sell, it's not only owned by Woodmere residents, but all those who travel from far away to come to the shul. They also have bialis, and you can't sell. That's what the Gemara says. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, "Hi, Beit Knishta demasa machza, which is a very big city, basically, and that's shul." Even though people come from all over the world to this particular shul to daven, it's not considered there under their bialis. Why? Since they come for me, Ravashi said, he was a humble guy, but he knew the reality. They're coming to see and to daven the Ravashi. Since it's for me, then I could sell if I wanted. I'm really the full baal of this particular shul. So the Gemara then says, Masiv asks the Gemara, that Amar Yehuda Maisa beBeis Knesses Shel Tursiim, some shul in the city, Shehu Yerushalayim. It was built by the Tursians and it was in Yerushalayim. Shemachru LeRabbi Eliezer, it was sold to Rabbi Eliezer. We also bought Kol Tzrachov, and he did whatever he wanted. He turned the shul into a regular building. So asks the Marva, Hasam DeKrachem Havu. So wasn't that a city of the city? It was a shul of the city. It was in Yerushalayim. And people came from all over the place. So even the Bnei Yerushalayim wouldn't be able to sell it because people came from all over the world to go to this big shul. So Gemara says, no, this particular shul, Hahi Bei Knishta Zuti Havi, it was a very small shul, a little shtibul in the corner. V'inu avdu. And the Tertians of Warlanto made it on their own. It wasn't considered a citywide shul, and therefore it was a personal shul, and that's why they were able to sell to Rabbi Eliezer. Asks Gemara further, Meisive. It's talking about the Tumas Negam. We know Neged Tzras, if it appears in the house, so then it's going to have all the dinim of the Neged Tzras, and the Kohen has to look at it. If it's Tamei, they knock down the wall. So the Gemara says, it says, Beis Ha'eretz Achuzaschem, only in that which is Achuz, that which is owned, that is divided amongst the Shvatim. The Gemara is Medaik, Achuzaschem Mitame Binagam, Vein Yushalayim Mitame Binagam. Yushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. We're about to see there's actually a Machlokas here, but the Tanakhama holds it was not divvied up amongst the Shvatim. It's a no man's land or everybody's land, but it's not considered Achuzaschem. And therefore, any house in Yushalayim that has Neged Tzras is pater from Tumas Negam. It has to be in Dafka in the other parts of the land of Eretz Yisrael where it was divided up amongst the Shvatim. So it comes along, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shemati ela makom mikdash bevad. I heard, not true. I heard that only the Beis HaMikdash proper is not subject to Neged Tzras. If Neged Tzras appears in the Beis HaMikdash, it's exempt because only the Beis HaMikdash wasn't divided up. But the other parts of Yushalayim in that city was in fact divided. It was given to Binyamin or Yehuda, as we'll see. So Machlokas, again, whether or not Yushalayim was divided amongst the Shvatim or not. So Gemara is Medayik from Rabbi Yehuda. That's only true the Beis HaMikdash is not subject to Tumah because it's not Achuz Aschem. Everyone owns it. But if it's a shul or Beis Medrash that's in Yushalayim, it would be subject to Tumas Neged Tzras. Amai, why would that be the case? It's that the krachim, meaning it's not owned by anyone in particular. It's by the tzibur, and therefore it should be exempt also from Neged Tzras as well. So Gemara says, you're right. Ema Amar Yehuda Ani Shemati Ela Ani Lo Shemati Ela Makom Mekudash Bevad. He felt not only the Beis Hamikdash proper is exempt from Neged Tzras, but any place that's Kadosh, Beis Knesses, Beis Medrash, all these places, since it was of the city, everybody has an equal bialis to it, and it's all exempt of Tumah Neged Tzras. So the Gemara says, okay, in the end of the day, B'mai K'miflagi, what's this machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not the city of Yerushalayim is subject to Neged Tzras? Again, Tanakama felt the entire city is exempt from Neged Tzras. Rabbi Yehuda says only the Makom Mekudash are, but the other areas of the city are subject to Neged Tzras. So what's this machlokas? So the Gemara says, "B'mai kimiflagi, Tanakama savar lo nischalkal Yushalayim l'shvatim." Tanakama felt it was not divided amongst the Shvatim. It was considered no man's land. It was neutral, all of Yushalayim, and therefore it's not Achuz Aschem and Pater from Neged Tzras. Rabbi Yehuda responds back, "Rabbi Yehuda savar nischalkal Yushalayim l'shvatim." It actually was divided amongst the Shvatim. Ubepluk sedani tanai. They're subject to the following machlokas. The Tanya, Ma yabachelko sheYehuda. What was in the portion of Yehuda? Harbayis, halishchos, vazaros, different parts of the base of Mikdash. Ma yabachelko shebiryamin ulam vehechal base kache kadashim uritzua hayisa yotas michelko sheYehuda v'nichneses bechelko shebiryamin. And a little strip of Yehuda's portion came into the portion of Binyamin to take away some of the mizbech. Ubab mizbech bana is built in the portion of Yehuda, even though the area is really of Binyamin, but Yehuda kind of snuck in and got the area of the Mizbeach. But we have Binyamin Hatzadik Mitzar Aleh B'chol Yom Libola, and Binyamin wanted to swallow up the portion that Yehuda took from him. Shenemar Chofei V'lov Kol Yom, he was hovering over that Makom Mizbeach that he really wanted Binyamin, the Fikach Zacha Binyamin V'nasa Ushbizachin L'Shechina. Therefore, since he wanted this so badly, it's such a cheshek, he was Zocha that the Shechina rests in his area, in particular, as Rashi is in the Aron, in the Kodesh Kodashim, that's where it's placed in Binyamin's area. Either way, this all seems to say that only the base of Mikdash was divided, but not all of Yerushalayim. So this is a subject to a debate. So now, the Gemara says further. Look at Top Tosis for a second. The top, all the way on the top here, Kaven de Mamla Kasile. This is explaining why the shul, if the people come from all over the world, it's not the people of Bnei Yer could sell it. Everyone has bialis, and therefore no one could sell it. So near the Farish, it appears to explain as follows. Kaven de Rov Bnei Adam, Regil Nalechas Shamlis Pal, since most people, or many people, go to daven there. Afa Pishain and Osin Klum Bibinyano, even though they didn't support it, they didn't pay membership. Since they built the shul and they were aware that people were going to come from all over the world to daven in this shul, even though they're not paying membership, still nase chamura kedushaso, the level of kedusha is higher than a smaller shul, a shtibul. Therefore, they have no right to sell. Which is interesting. It's not about financial bialis. It's about the das of how they built it, what the intentions were when they built it. Furthermore, one could explain Kevin Shirabim Nosin Bivinano, that since most people, they pay for it. When people come to shul, they like to participate, like to give membership. Ubishar Tzrachav, and the other amounts, they pay for the electricity and whatnot. Ubisamech Nami, the Kamarvashi, the Daiti Didi Kasi, Haini Mashi Nosin Baalasas Ritonos. The interesting machlok is here in Tosos, whether or not it's because they built it initially with the das of people coming, or people had supported by giving money and membership, and therefore they actually become the Baal of the city from elsewhere. So now take a look. Let's go right to the Gemara. Now the Gemara says last five lines of the Amud here. Bahai Tana, Sabra, the following Tana holds, Lo Nischalka Yushlaim the Shvatim. This is the following Tana holds that it was not divided amongst the Shvatim. The Tani, the Raisa says, Ein Maskirin Batim of Yushlaim, Ipnesh Einan Shalahen. You're not allowed to rent out a house. If you're living in a house, let's say, you can't rent it out in Yerushalayim because it's not yours. It's not mine to own. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Aflo Mitos, even the beds you can't rent out either. So the Gemara says further now, is that really, Lefikach Oros Kachim, Bale Ushbizchen, No Linoso Bizarro. So what happens? Let's say I have a house in Yerushalayim and there's a guest staying in my house. I can't charge rent to them because it's not mine to rent. But then I'm doing a tova, letting them take a bedroom up. So what's the din? So when my guest came, why did he come to Yerushalayim? L'chori came to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash. So what does a Baal get? What does an owner of the carbon get? He gets to bring back the hide, the leather. So the custom was to you give that hide to your host as a form of payment. You're not really allowed to collect money, but it's a nice tova as appreciation, an expression of a kosher tova to the one who lets you stay in his house. And he says not only that you're allowed, that you're supposed to, but bizroa, you can actually take it away. No, no, so bizroa. So Amar Abai says Shema Amina. We learn from here. Orach Ara, the Derech Eretz is the Mishvach Ines Gupa Mashcha Bushpiz. It's nice to leave a gift over. You're staying at someone's house. Bring a bottle of wine. Bring some candy. Even though they're not, you're not paying money, but they're doing a tova. Whether it's washing the linen or providing you the water, the shower, the bathroom, you should leave something behind for them. So now the little Tukat Tosus in the bottom here. Aflam Amitos. Tosus writes Perish Harav Rabbeinu Yosef. The sphere lay, the chavin shakarka makam hamitos, lohaya myuchad lebailim, lohaya koach biyadam, laskiram skiras shalim. Because since the property, the land upon which the bed is on, is not really mine, even though it's my house, therefore even the bed itself that goes on this karka, I have the right to lease it. Umikomakam, machmas metatalayam, hayu nolin, oris hakachim. Because they're using my movable property, that's why I have every right to collect the rent. Meaning the karka itself, I can't really rent. But the metalton that they're using, that's what allows me to collect the rent from the people living there, or staying by. So now the Gemara says, last two lines of the Amud here. Amar Rava Rava says, Lo Shanu, this is all true that we've been discussing, that you're not allowed to be mowed the Kedusha from one Kedusha to another one. It's only true, Ela Shlomachu B'Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir B'Maimed An She'ir. It's only true if you did not have this take place. What is this? Seven of the administrators, the seven board members, in the presence of the entire city, they had a whole board meeting. They made a board meeting that they wanted to sell the shul and to bring down the Kedusha. That would actually be allowed. This is all when this did not take place. Aval, Machu, last line. Machu Shiva Tuvi Ha'ir. The seven board members of the city. B'mai Mid Anshi Ha'ir. In the presence of the entire city, they decided to sell the Sefer Torah and to downgrade it to, let's say, buy a shul, then that would be allowed. And the Gemara says, Afilu, so much so, going on to Mebez now, Afilu, Lemishte Beishicha, even to use the money to buy beer would be allowed as well. Shaper Dami, that would be allowed. So again, that's all in the presence of the board members and the entire city that they would agree to such a demotion of Kedusha. Says the Gemara now, the top line of Chav Vav Mebez. Ravina, Havale Hahu Tila, the Beit Knishta, he had a little mound that was once upon a time a shul that was destroyed. And also the Kamei de Ravashi, he went to Ravashi, and Amar Lei says, Ma'u le'mizri, am I allowed to plant? Right, this mound here, once upon a time, was a shul. Unfortunately, it was destroyed. So now I want to know, can I plant on top of this mountain? So the Gemara says, I went to Ravashi to ask him a shaila, what's the din? Amar Lei, Ma'u le'mizri, Amar Lei, zil zvane meshivei to'ir, buy it from the seven board members of the city, b'mayim anshe'ir, v'zara, and once you have permission from them, so then one would be allowed to use whatever you want. But you first have to buy it, and once you buy it, then it's downgraded from its kedusha entirely. So now the Gemara says, six lines down, Rami, Bar Abba, Hava Kam Bani B'nei Kishta. Well, one time he was building a shul, and Hava Haik Nishta Atika, and there's an old shul in that same city. It's not uncommon for an old city, a shul to be worn out. They wanted to build a new shul, but there's still an old shul. And what happened was, Hava Bai L'Mista, they wanted to destroy the old city, knock it down, Ulasuye Livne V'Kshure Mine, and to bring the bricks and to bring the beams to build Vayu L'Hasam, to bring it into the new shul, right? They wanted to recycle the material if they're able to. So let's knock down the old shul and bring in for the new shul. So the problem was, Yosef had come and Bailei, they sat down, they were asking, how do Rav Chista, that which Rav Chista says, what Rav Chista holds? If you remember the sugya in the first parak above Basra, the Amar Rav Chista, lo lister beknisha ad debani beknisha achrisa. You're not allowed to build an old shul until you build a new shul. And the Gemara has two different reasons why that's the case. Let's say I have shul A. And shul A is over. It's too small. It's breaking up. It's ruined. I want to build a new shul. The din is you can't knock down shul A until you build shul B. Why? Either because you might not, let's say you knock down shul A and you start building shul B, but you turn out you run out of money. Then there are no shuls left. So then you're stuck. So we're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says the following chakira. Awesome over there, the reason why you can't knock down the old shul until you build the new shul, mishum pshusa, because you know, something might happen, you might not ever have built the second shul, and there's no left in those shuls. But in this case, what would the situation be? Are you allowed to knock it down? So the Gemara says, here you're knocking it down in order to build the new shul with it. Over there, we're just knocking down the shul stam. Here, you're knocking down the shul to use the material, the old shul, to build the new shul. So Amr Asr Lakami Dir Papa. They went to Rapapa to ask him the Shiloh. Vasalai, he says, Asr, to do this, and Lakame, they also came, Asalai, Lakame Dir Huna Vasalai. He also says, Asr, to build the, to knock down the old shul until you built the new shul. So Amr Rava, Hai Be Knisha, Chalufa Uzune Shari. So it comes to a shul, the din is, if you're allowed to swap shuls, a Kedusha, or sell it, that would be allowed. So look at Rashi to explain this. Rashi writes three narrow lines down. Chalufa Vizune. If I sell a shul, the kedusha of the shul will transfer over onto the money. If I either swap it or have some type of transaction, that would happen. And then the kedusha of the shul would actually leave. It would go onto the money. That's shul of selling a shul. However, ogre umishkano aser. But if, let's say, I take a shul and I lease it out for someone to use for non-shul purpose, or I give it as a mashkon, it's a collateral, that would not be allowed. You cannot use it. It does not lose its kedusha only through a sale. So the Gemara then says, that's true of a shul. My time, what's the reason? The kedusha also kai. It still retains its kedusha. Unless you made a transaction, the kedusha remains. What about the livnei nami? When it comes to the bricks of the shul, nami chalufinu uzvuninu, you could either swap them with other bricks or you could sell them onto the money. That also would be a way of removing the kedusha of the bricks. But osvinu, aser, but to lend them out and to use them for non-kedusha purposes, that would be aser. And the Gemara says, honey, mele, this is all true, but tiksa, only when coming to an old shul or old bricks or old beams where they've already been used in the shul. Above the chadase, less than above. But if they're new bricks and new shul, and it hasn't been used just yet, it's simply what's called a hazmana milsa. If I designate that these bricks or this building should be designated for a shul but has not yet been used, that's called hazmana. This machlok is whether or not hazmana is milsa or la milsa. If you remember from the sugyas in Sanhedrin and Brachos, that if you hold hazmana is milsa, which means hazmana has significance, so I could designate this bag for tefillin, that means it's also tefillin even before I use it. If I say hazmana la milsi, that means hazmana is worthless, and then it's not going to have kedusha. So the Gemara says, if I have a building and brick set aside for a shul, it's hazmana, it still will not have kedusha until you actually use it. And the Gemara says, afilu man damar, even the opinion who holds hazmana milsi, that when you designate something for kedusha, the kedusha actually exists and happens right away. That's only hani mile kagon ha oreg beged lemeis. If a person weaves a cloth, weaves tachrichen for a mace, where the last thing that has to be done is just place it on the mace, that's where hazmana is significant. But aval hacha kitavul oreg damin. But here, let's say I'm spinning the wool, but it's not made into a cloth yet. That's too far removed from the mace itself. So hazmana, we say, anything that's designated for a mace, that's aser b'hana. So if a mace, let's say, for example, if you put tachrichen on a mace, that tachrichen is aser b'hana. If I also set aside tachrichen for the mace, that's called hazmana, milsa. If you hold hazmana as milsa, that would also be aser, even though it hasn't been used yet. If I spin wool, and I have not yet made the beged, that's too far removed from the mace. Even though I want this wool to be used for tachrichen, for the mace, that's too far removed, and therefore that would be mutter, hazmana would not be milsa in that case, here as well. By simply designating bricks and beams for the shul, it's not built in the shul yet. That's too far removed, and that would actually be mutter if I simply designated it for the shul. V'lek eleman damar. Fine. So then the Gemara says, what about matana? We spoke about buying, swapping, lending, leasing. What about if you give the gift of a shul or bricks? You give it to someone else. Would that remove the kedusha or not? So pligi ba Rav Acha Ravina. They have a machlokas. Chad aser v'chad shari. One felt the matana still retains its kedusha. If I give a shul over as a gift, it still is a kedusha sakai. The others felt that no, if I give it over as a gift, it actually wouldn't be mutter and the kedusha would be removed. So man, the aser, the one who felt by giving a shul as a gift, would still remain aser and kadosh. B'hai tifkei kedushase. It really should be b'mai. With what was kedusha left? Nothing. It didn't transfer to anything. By me giving it as a gift, you needed to fall on top of money. But no money was transferred by me giving the shul as a gift. So it stands with the kedusha. Uman the shari, the one who felt that it's permitted if I gift over my shul. Ilav the havilei hana mine. Lahava yavle. If I didn't get hana from this friend, my chaver, that I'm giving the shul to, he must have given me something, done a nice tovah for me. There is some type of a transfer of benefits here. So therefore, hader havele matana kizvina. Therefore, we view the gifting as a transaction of swapping of hanaz, and the kedusha would actually dissipate from the shul. So that's the machlokas. So now the Gemara says, now we've been talking about kedusha of different items of shuls and sefer Torah and so on. Taner ban. The Baraita says the following: Tashmishei mitzvah. Let's explain what tashmishei mitzvah is first. The Gemara is going to give examples. There's something called tashmishei kedusha and there's tashmishei mitzvah. So the tashmishei mitzvah are any items that have no kedusha to it. Something like tzitzis, we'll see that there's no osios Hashem. Anytime there's a cloth, the shemos Hashem or even psukim, so that's actually called kedusha. So tefillin, sefer Torah, those are all kedusha. Tashmishei kedusha are those items that help protect it, help serve it. So let's say the ritzuos, so my tefillin, are not kedusha itself because there's no shemos Hashem, but they're tashmishei. They serve that which is kadosh. Another category is tashmishei mitzvah, that which have no osios, no ksav, such as tzitzis, such as lulav, such as sukkah. They're mitzvahs, but they're not kedusha. That's what's called tashmishei mitzvah. These are two very important categories. So the Gemara points out in this braisa that there's a distinction between the two in terms of geniza. If you the mitzvah is over, what do you do with the leftover tzitzis? What do you do with leftover tefillin? So the Gemara tells you right here, Tanya Rabbanan. We have in the braisa tashmishei mitzvah nizrokin. You could throw out tzitzis. Tashmishei mitzvah, examples of that which is not kadosh, but they're mitzvahs, you could throw in the garbage directly. Now, we say because of kavod, we don't want to put tzitzis in the garbage. You should put it in a bag, and you can put the tzitzis directly in the garbage. Now, it's brought down in halacha that you actually, that some have a chumrah to put it in geniza and to bury even tzitzis in tashmishei mitzvah. It's brought down in the poskim. But it's a chumrah ba'alma, and one doesn't need to. And one, certainly, if you're, let's say, dropping off stuff in the shul, and you're not paying for it, it would be wrong for you to drop off your chumras so that the shul should have to pay for your geniza. But if you want to pay for the cost, it's a nice chumrah to do. But meikar din, you could take tzitzis, put it in a bag, and drop it in the garbage. Lulav, put it in a bag, and drop it in the garbage. That's meikar din. So that's tashmishei mitzvah. But tashmishei kedusha, nignazin, those require geniza. You have to bury that which is tashmishei kedusha. So which is which? Ve'elein. Tashmishei mitzvah, examples of tashmishei mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. These are all mitzvahs, but there's no kedusha. There's no osios, there's no ksav, there's no psukim. Veilein, tashmishei kedusha, the following are that which serves that which is kadosh. Duluskami, svarim, which is tefillin mezuzos, which are types of Rashi explains, some have a bag, a little bag that would hold the tefillin or a sefer Torah. They're not kedusha themselves, but the bag, they serve that which is kadosh. So these are tashmishei kedusha. The tikshel sefer Torah, the nar tikshel tefillin, a bag of tefillin, and the tsuroseim, all these things are not kedusha, but they're tashmishei kedusha, and these you have to actually do geniza, you have to bury them. Kal v'chomer, that which is kedusha itself, such as a sefer Torah and tefillin, that certainly requires geniza. Now Tosfos points out here, Dibur Maskil tashmishei kedusha, he says we can learn from here, look at that Tosfos, tashmishei kedusha of nir tikshel tefillin, the tsuroseim, that were the tsuros. The straps of tefillin are also only tashmishei kedusha, but not kedusha itself. Tosfos points out, Mikan Masha, from here we can infer, Shadalad Vayud Shebekesh Sharatu. We know that the top of the Sharosh is a Dalad, and the Shayad is a Yud, and there's a Shin on the Sharosh. That spells Shin Dal Yud. Isn't that going to be a Shem Hashem? Shouldn't that be Kedush itself, not simply Tashmishe Kedusha? The Tosfos says, we learn from here that the Dalad and Yud in the Kesh Sharatu ain't an Osios Gemurus, and not real letters. They're Ramazim. They hint, but they're not real letters. For the Havei Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, it's not part of the tradition that dates back to Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Ki ima shin shibabatim, only the shin on the Sharosh is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Midilo kari hachal virtuos ela tashmishe kedusha. Because had the Dal and Yud been Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and they really would have been real osios, the virtuos themselves should have been a shame Hashem itself, and it would have been kedusha, not simply Tashmish Kedusha. That was Tosus' assumption. Others argue and say, no, the Dalet and Yud are really Osios. It really is, but they're not together. They're not all put together. It doesn't create a real Kedusha. It simply would be Tashmish Kedusha. So back inside the Gemara, now last three narrow lines. Amar Rava, Mereish initially, Hava Amina, I said, I would have thought, Hai Krisa da Tashmish to Tashmishu, Vishari, what's Krisaya? So Rashi explains the wooden bima, the center of the shul. So I would have thought initially, that's Tashmish to Tashmish. It's secondary. Meaning, the Sefer Torah, the bag that holds its film, that's direct. The box holds its film, that's direct. But here, you have the bima, and on top of the bima, you put a cloth, and the Torah goes on top of the cloth, so the bima itself is secondary. It's Tashmish to Tashmish, and would not have any Tashmish Kedusha. That's why I initially thought. And would be Shari would be permitted. But Kaven, since the Chazina, the most via Alavei Sefer Torah. Once I saw sometimes they put the Sefer Torah directly on the wooden beam without there being a cloth, I see now, Amina, I hold, Tashmish Dekdushu, it's directly servicing the Sefer Torah, V'aser, and would be Aser to use for something else outside Kedusha. Amar Rava, Rava says further, Mereish initially, have Amina, I thought, High Prisa Tashmish to Tashmishu. The curtain in front of the Aron Kodesh is also very removed from the Torah itself. The Aron is what houses the Sefer Torah, but the curtain is what covers it. So I would have thought it's not Kadosh at all. So Tashmish to Tashmishu. But Kaven, since the Chazina, the Aifilei, Umanche, Sifra, Alaiva, sometimes I saw that they took it off to actually use to put underneath the Sefer Torah on top of the Bima. I realize that it's actually very directly used for the Sefer Torah. It's Tashmish to Kedushu, and Vasa would be Asr. Gemara now says further, three wide lines down, Amar Rava, Hai Tevusa de Irpat, this particular Teva, which Rashi says it got ruined, it was kind of, it splintered, it came apart. So, Me'avde Teva Zuchase, so don't throw it in the garbage. If you have an Aron that broke, just make a smaller Aron. Use whatever's left over to make a smaller Aron. Shari, that would be permitted. But Krusaya Aser, but to use it to make a Bima would be Aser, meaning to use it for the same purpose from a bigger Aron to a smaller Aron's allowed. But to make it from an Aron to a bima, that would be considered a downgrade because it doesn't house the Sefer Torah, and that would be Aser. Amar Rava, Rava says, further, High Prisa Dibala. If you have a curtain that actually worn out, Lemavde Prisa LeSifre, you could use it to now cover up other Svarim. Sure, that would be allowed for other Sifre Torah, but to use it for Chumashim, that would not be allowed because using it for Chumash would be considered a downgrade. That would be Aser. Amar Rava, Rava says, further, Hani Zvili the Chumashi. Zvili Chumashi is like a bag for Chumash. The Kimatri de Sifri and some type of box for the Sifrei Nach are considered Tashmi Kedusha Ninu. Those are considered directly servicing the Svarim. The Nigan is never require Geniza. Well, it says Pshita, it's obvious. Of course, they're directly servicing the Svarim. Why would you think otherwise? And so, Ma'al the same, what would you have thought? Honey, lav lichvot avidan. They're not really to service it, not to show honor, respect. Rather, they're linturei ba'alma avid. They're made to protect it, to keep them safe, and that's not considered a Tashmish Kedusha. Kamashwan, I don't care whether it's there to show kavod to the Sefer Torah or to protect the Sefer Torah. If it's directly somehow servicing it, that's called Tashmish Kedusha. Gemara now says, Hahu Beknisha, certain shul, the Yuda, Rama, that was I guess the Jewish Roman Jews, they have a pasich lahu adrana, that had a different, had an entranceway to some room that have a machis be mace. They place a mason. So some shuls they have, you ever go to to one of these funeral homes, so there's a room on the side where they leave the mace and they bring the mace out. So some shuls had it like that. You had a big shul, and the side there was a little room, they left the mace. The problem was, if a Kohen enters in, so now you have the mace in there, and the mace comes through the door, the tumah comes through, and a Kohen can't be in the same shul. So what do you do? So again, they have a machas bay mace on the side room. Have a boy, Kohani lemeo litzluyei hasam. Now the Kohen wants to come daven in the shul. If there's no mace there, then that's fine. But once, if there's a mace in that side room, and there's a doorway into the main shul, they have a problem. So what would they do? So also, Amru le Rava, they told Rava, Amru lehu, Rava says, Dilo tivusa osvei dehavilei kli'etz ha'osu lenachas. Says, take the wooden beam, the wooden bima, and pick it up, and place it in the door, and block it. And once you block it, the tumah can't pass through because there's a klal that a kli eitz, which is meant to be positioned to be stationary, that's not metame, it's not makabel tumah, the Gemara says. The kli eitz also the nachas ain't makabel tumah. If you have a wooden structure that's meant to stay stationary, even though you can move it, but it's meant to stay in one place, that's not makabel tumah, and it's chotet b'fnei tumah. Since it's not makabel tumah, it comes and blocks the tumah, and that's the eitz, pick it up, situate it there, position it there, and you block the tumah. So then, Amru le Rabban, the Rabban said to the Rava, that doesn't really work. But sometimes we actually move the bima around. If the Sefer Torah is on top of it, we move it this way, move it that way, it's movable. It's not really meant to be stationary. It's not a kliyet tzahas or the nachas. V'havle metalta, it's a movable wood, which is movable male v'rekam. There's a klal. If you plan to move the wood around, whether it's full or whether it's empty, so the din is that it's not going to be chotet b'fnei atumma. So Gemara said, if that's the case, that's not going to work. You need to find another solution as to how you're able to block the mace in the other room. So now the Gemara says, last six lines of the Amun here. Amar Marzucha says, Mitzbacha Svarim Shabal, if you have these coverings of the Sefer Torah that have worn out, Osan Tachrich and the Mace Mitzvah, what you could do with them that are no longer usable for Sefer Torah, you could use them to bury a mace, use them as Tachrich of the mace. So of a Mace Mitzvah who has someone to bury him, no money, there's no Yerusha, so you use it from the Sefer Torah, the worn out curtains. Zuhi Gnizas, and that's why how you do Gniza. You do the Gniza of these worn out Matpachos, you give it to the Mace Mitzvah and bury it that way. Amar Rava says, Sefer Torah Shabbala. If you have a Sefer Torah that's worn out, no longer usable, you have to do Geniza. Where should you be going, is it? Gones and also Eitzel Tamil Chacham. You should bury them when a Tamil Chacham is buried, so you bury the Sefer Torah along with them as well. V'afilu Shon Halachas. Even if you only Shon Halachas, which is a pretty scary thing, Rashi explains to you, V'afilu Shon Halachas, Klomar, Afilu Lo Shimish Tamil Chachamim, V'ashas V'gmar El B'mishas V'brises. Even though he taught, he learned a lot from his Rebbe, but was not Mishamishim in Gemara, meaning wasn't the highest level of a Talmud Chacham. In the end, they're still good enough, that's sufficient to have him eitzel the Sefer Torah when you bury the Sefer Torah. And Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov of Kli Cheres, and you should put in a Kli Cheres. That's how you should cover the Sefer Torah. When you put it in the ground, put in some type of earthenware. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'nech v'nesata m'kli cheres, l'man yamdu yamir rabim, and you leave it there for many days. This way it'll be preserved, and that's how a person should bury it. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We started talking about the Mishnah, what you could buy and sell. You could upgrade in Kedusha from the Rehovah, the Beis Knesset, Sefer Torah, and so on, but you can't downgrade in Kedusha. That was all the position of the Rabbi Menachem, who felt the Rehovah had Kedusha because they daven there sometimes in the Tainus. But Chacham argued and said the Rehovah is not Kedusha because it's only Akab Aima when they would actually daven there. We made a distinction that you're only allowed to sell a shul of a kfarim because it's a shtibel owned personally by that village, but a big city where people come from daven from all over the place, that's not the people of Ne'ir, their ability, it's not under their bias to sell because everyone davens there, the entire world is considered the bialim of this area. We asked the question of the shul, of the Turjan shul in Yerushalayim, and that was a personal shul. We asked the question about whether the Yerushalayim is Neschalko, the Shvatim or not, Nachkamina, whether or not they'd be subject to Tumas Negayim. And then we spoke about the guests who stay over in the house in Yerushalayim, although they can't charge rent because it's not theirs to own, they still should give, and they actually could take away the skin, the hide they brought back from the Karbanos from the guests. And then we said this is all true that you can't sell shul if you don't have the Shiva Tuva'ir, but if you have Shiva Tuva'ir, B'maimid Ansha'ir, then you're allowed to sell it as well. And then an old shul for a new shul, we spoke about those different dinim, by selling a shul and giving a shul, leasing a shul, whether it could transfer Kedusha or not transfer the Kedusha, and then the difference between Tashmisha Mitzvah, Tashmisha Kedusha, and then Rav had a whole slew of different things about what he thought may have been Tashmisha to Tashmisha, but really Tashmisha Kedusha, the curtain of the Aron, the bima itself, and so on and so forth. And finally we saw about the mace that was in the side room, how you could block it from the shul, whether you could put the kliyets there or not, and then the leftover, the worn out mitpachos, you bury with the mace mitzvah, and the worn out Sefer Torah, you bury with a Talmud Chacham. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Okay.